You're listening to LGRadio.online. Welcome to In the Benny Green Archives.
Good afternoon. This week I have to thank the CBS Record Company for plunging me so far back into childhood that maybe they should have issued a lollipop with the album. It's one of their I Love Jazz revivals, and it features the great Jimmy Rushing. I say great because Rushing had the most amazing shape of any human being I ever saw. He was short and broad. When you looked at his spherical self waddling through time and space, you found it easy to believe that he was the original inspiration for the song he popularized, Mr. 5x5, because they were roughly his dimensions. Now, how a man gets to that size and shape, I can hardly imagine. But I do remember seeing him once backstage with his longtime employer, Count Basie. It was the interval of a concert, and the two of them were playing poker. Alongside Basie was a pack of cigarettes. Alongside Rushing was what I think I should describe as an encyclopedia of corned beef sandwiches. Anyway, Rushing's revival album, Little Jimmy and the Big Brass, features a song that I thought I'd heard the last of ages ago. I learned it literally on my grandmother's knee, because when I was about 5 years old, the old girl used to let me free among the records in her kitchen. Now, one was, I think, by a group with the mysterious name of Benson's Orchestra of Chicago. A boring title and a boring orchestra. But one of the songs they performed got under my skin for some reason I can't explain. It was sung on the record by a voice of indeterminate sex, and for reasons I can't explain again, I always imagine it to be an old show tune. I now find out it was just a Tin Pan Alley song flung into the maelstrom of the 1924 season. Anyway, this is not how the Benson's Orchestra of Chicago sounded.
Just give me a June night, the moonlight, and you in my arms with all your charms, lead stars above. I'll hold you, enfold you, then dreams will come true. So give me a June night, the moonlight, and you.
Jimmy Rushing with Buck Clayton on trumpet and Buddy Tate saxophone on an old CBS revival album called Little Jimmy and the Big Brass. The song was written by a team I don't think I've mentioned before. The music was by a man called Abel Baer, who trained in the usual way, as composers do, by studying dentistry and aviation. The lyrics were by Cliff Friend, and he sounds interesting. Friend was an accompanist at one time to people like Harry Richman. How he managed to brave that severe ordeal, I don't know, but before that he was a test pilot, so I don't suppose touring vaudeville theatres seemed all that bad. But what intrigues me about Cliff Friend is the line in the ASCAP dictionary which tells us that at one time he was featured in the English Music Hall. Well, it would be interesting if anybody knew anything about Cliff Friend in our local halls. At least we know about Fred Fisher's youth. Old man Fisher was born on September the 30th, 1875, and I like to think of him as the only even vaguely cultural asset that came out of the Kaiser's Navy. Fred served in the Imperial Fleet in submarines, but the life was a bit too rough, so seeking a little bit of peace and quiet, he joined the French Foreign Legion to forget. Well, after a while, he realised he couldn't remember what it was he was trying to forget, so he left the Legion and soon forgot about that too, except for the mark of a sabre cut on his left cheek, which used to frighten the life out of everybody once he went to America. Everybody, that is, except the music publishers, the agents, the theatrical impresarios and the leading ladies. Fred was nothing if not prolific. He was the kind of man who could turn literally anything into a song. For example, one of his idols was the baseball star Lou Gehrig. So Fred gets friendly with Gehrig, and in no time he's writing songs with Mrs. Gehrig. And guess the title of the most successful one. Of course, I Can't Get to First Base Without You. Well, I won't be playing that one today. The baseball season ended weeks ago. Or at least let's hope it did. Instead, here is a 1928 hit that Fred Fisher wrote with his favourite lyric writer, Fred Fisher.
You know I'm like a weeping willow, weeping on my pillow. For years and years, there ain't no sweet gal worth the salt of my tears. Let me tell you now that down and down she dragged me like a fiend, she nagged me. For years and years, there ain't no sweet gal worth the salt of my tears. Although I may be blue, still I'm through. I must tell her goodbye. So long, pal, no more gal, gonna lay me down and just die. So broken-hearted sisters, aggravating misters, lend me your ears. There ain't no sweet gal worth the salt of my tears, worth the salt of my tears. Ain't no girl gonna make me cry. You know I'd rather die. I'm gonna walk right out your door. Gonna see me no more. You done messed up a good thing. I want you to take back your sweet wedding ring. You have broken my horns. I look at you and see thorns, yeah. And you ain't worth my tears. Not after all these years. You done messed up a good thing. You done messed up a good thing. So broken-hearted sisters, aggravating misters, lend me your ears. There ain't no sweet gal worth the salt of my tears. Yeah. It feels good to keep on playing.
That was Bobby Darin in yet another Capitol revival called The Versatile Bobby Darin, singing one of Fred Fisher's enormous catalogue of hit songs. Now, I'll come back to Mr. Darin's record a bit later, but first there is this business of one of the most auspicious dates in a musical comedy calendar. And by auspicious, I mean, of course, ridiculous, beyond words. The date is September the 29th, 1921. And to explain what happened on that day, we have to go back a few months to the day that Jake Schubert went on a trip to Europe looking for things to make money out of. The trip ended with a disaster. Jake got back to America in one piece, bringing with him an idea he decided to steal from a German company he'd seen in a big success about the life of Franz Schubert. Well, Jake liked the music but hated the plot. So when he got home, he had a new plot written that was even worse than the one he'd seen in Germany. In this new plot, poor old France is a composer who's in love with a girl. So he writes a love song and gets a friend of his to sing it to her in the hope that the girl will realise how much he loves her. And it works like a charm. The girl falls madly in love with the singer. Well, utterly crushed by this, or nearly utterly crushed, it is all France can do to muster the energy to write the unfinished symphony. Overcome by the strain of not finishing it, Franz falls ill and has only just enough energy left to write Ave Maria before snuffing it. Now, Jake Schubert wasn't too sure about the music that Frank Schubert had written, so he got it improved by Zygmunt Romberg. After that, Jake always cried when he heard Song of Love from Blossom Time, one of the biggest money-making machines ever invented. Maybe he was thinking of all the salaries he was forking out. The Schuberts had a Broadway hit with it and instantly put out 4 road companies. After that, they would cast it with students, play one night on Broadway, and then send the show on the road, billing it as direct from Broadway, which of course technically it was, but only technically. In the 20s and 30s, Blossom Time returned like a ghost to haunt the frequenters of Broadway. In 1924, not long after the show had closed, they revived it. In 1926, they suddenly felt they weren't quite rich enough, so they revived it again. They gave it a rest after that for 5 whole years, and then in 1931, back it came. The story goes that they started to revive it again in 1934, but got it muddled up with something else and revived Bittersweet by mistake. They made no mistake in 1938, back came Blossom Time. They made no mistake in 1943, back came Blossom Time. Sometimes they used to revive it before it had closed. And if you think that's a cheap joke, let me explain that at one point, they had 2 productions running at the same time on Broadway. Now, who were in these endless versions of Blossom Time? Nobody knew, nobody cared. There was a standard billing which read, Messrs. Schubert present the golden melodies of Franz Schubert. No names of performers, no sound man, no lighting man, no director, nothing. Just Franz and the 2 Schubert brothers. According to the magazine Variety, which usually disliked the productions of Blossom Time, the Schubert chorus boys were only given the job because they could not sing and could not dance. And as they grew older, these chorus boys graduated to older roles. All Schubert actors travelled with empty trunks. By the end of their tours, these trunks would be full of hotel sheets, curtains, towels, ashtrays, restaurant silverware, dishes. And then at the end of the tour, these would be shipped home for sale. One actor left an estate consisting in its entirety of 7,000 hotel towels. And that's what is celebrated every September the 29th. As for Zygmunt Romberg, he was their pet songwriter. Maybe that's where he picked up his borrowing habits. When he wasn't writing Franz Schubert's music, he was writing Tchaikovsky's or Brahms, and occasionally his own.
The sky was blue and high above. The moon was new and so was love. This eager heart of mine was singing, lover, where can you be? You came at last. Love had its day. That day is past. You've gone away. This aching heart of mine is singing, lover, come back to me. When I remember every little thing you used to do, I'm so lonely. Every road I've walked along with you. No wonder I'm so lonely. The sky is blue, the night is cold, the moon is new, but love is old. And while I'm waiting here, this heart of mine is singing, come back to me. sky is blue, the night is cold, the moon is new, but love is old. And while I'm waiting here, this heart of mine is singing, lover, 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 come back to me.
Dinah Shore showing distinct signs of panic there at the end as she strains to reconcile Zygmunt Romberg's melody with Tchaikovsky's Middle Eight. The vibraphone playing was by Red Norvo. My references the other week to the early music hall career of Cary Grant have drawn one or two very informative letters, especially one from Miss Dorothy Still in Brighton, who has offered me a photograph of young Grant with the Bob Pender Group, which I shall accept with indecent haste. Also a letter from Red Daniels of London Southwest 2, who fills in on young Cary's way with the ladies. He also describes an act I never heard of but wish I had. Herschel Henlier, who used to play a kind of jazz on the music hall stage. According to Mr. Daniels, it was often necessary to remove him bodily from the stage. If they closed the curtains, he'd run out in front with his accordion. At Chatham Empire, says Mr. Daniels, they dropped the safety curtain on him. So he ran through the pass door and went on playing without a break, leaning against the orchestra rail. Well, as a concession not just to the emergent Cary Grant, but to the comic spirit generally, how about this?
I want some red roses for a blue lady. Now, Mr. Flores, take my order, please.
Red roses for a blue lady chortles Cary Grant. And before I explain exactly how that freak came about, let me present another which falls into the same category. This time, the singer is a real singer, a man who was at one time regarded as the best tap-dancing gangster in the business. The song is the one that the satirists are always treading on. Spike Jones once did a definitive hatchet job on it, and this is really a kind of postscript to that wanton act of destruction.
You always hurt the one you love, the one you shouldn't hurt at all.
You always hurt the one you love, sings James Cagney. Actually, of course, it wasn't Cagney any more than the song before that was by Cary Grant or even by Archie Leach. The man impersonating them was Guy Marx, who a few years ago enjoyed a brief moment of fame and then faded from most people's thoughts, but not mine. The humour of that kind of impersonation has always interested me, although Marx does one or two dangerous ones, like Cagney, where the original models did actually sing. Impersonators who try on with singers are always ill-advised. There's more than one ingenious impersonator who's reduced to sheer ludicrous ineptitude, for instance, when the model becomes Frank Sinatra. But if it's a straight actor with exaggerated vocal mannerisms, then the game is on.
A rose must remain with the sun and the rain, or its lovely promise won't come true.
Edward G. Robinson, alias Guy Marx, singing a song written in all seriousness by Jay Livingston and Ray Evans. Still more Capitol revivals now. One of them features a man who's always being sent up by the Impressionists, but this time it's the real thing. The song is interesting. The middle section is, harmonically speaking, identical to the middle section of Rodgers and Hart's You Took Advantage of Me, written some years earlier. And the writer who took advantage of Rodgers and Hart was a man called Harry Barris. Barris had an odd career, or rather several odd careers. First he was a band leader, then he became one-third of Paul Whiteman's Rhythm Boys. And then he started writing songs for Crosby. Then he became a Hollywood actor, always playing the part of a musician, which is what he'd been. In his autobiography, Crosby says that he always thought that Barris was just about to cough himself to death. But in fact, he lived on till 1962, still hamming it up as a screen musician and still writing songs. But his best composing years were the early 1930s. And one of his two best songs, this one coming up, the other one, by the way, is I Surrender, Dear. This one coming up is one of the very few that I've played live on television. It was on the Michael Parkinson show a few years back, and the deal was that I would get paid X pounds if I appeared, but 2X if I played the saxophone. So I played, and I played this song. The point is about that filched middle eight that it's a bit awkward to get through. Now, a musician friend of mine who was at home watching the television couldn't sit through it. He said when he heard what I was about to play, he left the room. And to this day, he doesn't believe me when I insist I got through it without falling over. What I didn't tell him was I'd been practicing at home for 3 weeks. I doubt if Dean Martin had to do that.
When skies are cloudy and grey, they're only grey for a day. So wrap your troubles in dreams and dream your troubles away. Until the sunshine peeps through, there's only one thing to do. Just wrap your troubles in dreams and dream your troubles away. Your castles may tumble, that's fate after all. Life's really funny that way. No use to grumble, just smile as they fall. Weren't you king for a day? Oh, just remember the sunshine always follows the rain. So wrap your troubles in dreams and dream your troubles away. Tumble, that's fate after all. Life's really funny that way. No use to grumble, just smile as they fall. Weren't you king for a day? Well, just remember the sunshine always follows the rain. So wrap up your troubles in dreams. Wrap your troubles in dreams and dream, dream your troubles away.
Dean Martin with orchestra conducted by Frank Sinatra, Wrap Your Troubles in Dreams, in a Capitol reissue called Sleep Warm. Harry Barris wrote that one for Crosby. And there was a famous occasion when Crosby recorded it, forgot the words in the middle, and started singing slightly fruitier ones. Years ago, somebody, I think it was Ronnie Scott, played it to me, and he said he preferred the wrong version, but then who wouldn't? Now, I know from the letter bag that listeners are interested above all in the songwriter's view of songwriting, though of course some songwriters are more forthcoming than others in telling the way it was. On the whole, the best stories come from the songwriters who are in love with themselves, rather than the ones who admire lots of other songwriters. One of the outstanding raconteurs is Sammy Kahn, because he's a frustrated performer, and not always frustrated. He looks back on his own career like an explorer on the top of Everest, moved to wonder by the enormity of his own altitude. His account of the history of the world is relevant this week because of the appearance again on Capitol of some old Peggy Lee recordings under the title The Man I Love. That was the very famous session that Sinatra supervised and which produced one of the great recording masterpieces, The Folks Who Live on the Hill. I've decided to save that one to the bit nearer Christmas or something and concentrate instead on a Sammy Kahn number. For one thing, it saves me the bother of giving the background. Sammy Kahn gives it himself.
As Kahn and Chaplin, we started to write songs for the Vitaphone short subjects. I'm often asked, which comes first, the words or the music? I will tell you swiftly, the phone call. And one day in our office at the Vitaphone Studios, the phone rang and it was a Mr. Roy Mack to say, would we write a love song for one of these shorts? So, and this is indicative of the way Sol and I used to write. I ran in and said, hey, you like this for an idea? Listen. This is my first affair, so please be kind. And he'd say, no, 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 what you want to do is, this is my first affair, so please be kind.
This is my first affair, so please be kind. Handle my heart with care. Oh, please be kind. This is all. Dreams are on parade. If you just understand, they'll never, never fade. So tell me your love sincere. Oh, please be kind. Tell me I needn't fear. Oh, please be kind. 'Cause if you leave me, dear, I know my heart will lose its mind. If you love, please be kind. Please be kind. Tell me I needn't fear. Oh, please be kind. 'Cause if you leave me, dear,
Peggy Lee, conducted by Frank Sinatra and introduced by Sammy Kahn. Her reissue on Capitol is called The Man I Love and includes one song credited to Irving Berlin that surprisingly turns out to have been written by Irving Berlin. It comes from one of the old boy's last successes, a musical comedy called Miss Liberty, all about the quest to find the original lady who modelled for the Statue of Liberty. Now, in Miss Liberty, there's a waltz which makes a point of repeating itself in the lyrics nearly but cunningly not quite ad nauseam.
I love you, I love you, there's no other way, just one way to say I love you. I love you, I love you. And try as I may, that's all I can say. I love you. Much more could be said if I thought with my head, but I only can think with my heart. I love you, I love you, and yearn for the day when you'll say, I thought with my head, but I only can think with my heart. I love you, I love you, and yearn for the day when you'll say,
Peggy Lee with one of the last of the Irving Berlin love songs to be written. I said I would return to Bobby Darin, and this is the moment. Some years ago, I saw a film starring Tony Curtis in which the plot became very convoluted. Now, as far as I recall, and I may not be recalling very accurately, there was this hero who gets bumped off and his best friend inherits his body. Now, this means A, that he's a target for his friend's killers, and B, that he's a target for his friend's wife. Something like that. The point is that the bumped-off dead friend was called Charlie, and that the picture was therefore called Goodbye Charlie, and that there was a title song of that name written by Andre and Dory Previd, one of those jazzy waltzes with a clever series of rhymes.
Goodbye, Charlie, hate to see you go. Goodbye, Charlie, gee, I'm feeling low. But I'm cluing you in, someone's doing you in, pal. Goodbye, Charlie, hate to see you fade. My, my, Charlie, thought you had it made. But they're dumping you off after bumping you off, pal. Don't you know lechery leads you to treachery? Things boomerang. Someone you trifle with pulls out a rifle without a pang. Bang, bang, bang. Goodbye, Charlie. Cashing in your chips. Wild eye, Charlie. Time you came to grips. There ain't no doubt, strike three or out. Goodbye, Charlie, goodbye. Now don't you know lechery leads you to treachery? Things boomerang. Someone you trifle with pulls out a rifle without a pang. Bang, bang. Charlie, cashing in your chips. Wild eye, Charlie, time you came to grips. And there ain't no doubt, strike three, you're out. Goodbye, Charlie, goodbye.
Bobby Darin, Goodbye Charlie. Now, before I come to my closer, I'd like to play a song that's not usually thought of as being in the same category as the modern popular song. I remember it from my elementary school days, and especially one afternoon in the big hall at Cripston Junior Mixed, when Daisy Head, the only school teacher I ever knew who really had the vocation, waved a gramophone record at us and told us that we were about to hear the most perfect melody ever written. I, being about 9 years old, believed that there was such a thing as the most perfect melody ever written. Looking back on it, it is quite a tidy piece of construction.
Danny boy, the pipes are calling from glen to glen and down the mountainside. The summer's gone, and all the roses falling. It's you must go, and I must bide. But come ye back when summer's in the meadow, or when the valley's hushed and white with snow. It's I'll be here in sunshine or in shadow. Oh, Danny boy. Oh, Danny boy, I love you so. But when ye come and all the flowers are dying, if I am dead and dead I well may be, you'll come and find the place where I shall hear
Well, now to my last song. The CBS I Love Jazz Revivals include some inspired rabble-rousing undertaken by Louis Armstrong back in 1955, when he barnstormed across Europe, leaving a trail of exhausted hipsters behind him. This one, the sleeve says, was recorded either in Amsterdam or Milan, I think probably both. The song by Gerald Marx, who was born in 1900. Now, Marx once composed a song called I Can't Write the Words, nor could he. These words were written by a man called Seymour Simons, yet another American writer who worked in London in the early 1920s. Not that his words get too close a reading here, but this is Louis Armstrong we're talking about.
Without you, take my arms, I'll never use them. Take my lips, I wanna lose them. Baba, lose it, your goodbye left me with eyes to cry. Oh, how can I go on, dear, without you? You took the bottle that once was my heart. Why not take all of you? Yes, oh, can't you be better? I'm no good without you, man. Oh, take my lips, oh, baby. I'm a yes, your goodbye, man. I'm no good without you, baby. Yes, you have your pops, so don't abuse them chops. So why not take all of them? I take it up, but all of which are wearing nothing, baba.
All of me, and that's it. See you same time next week.
You've been listening to In the Benny Green Archives here on lgradio.online. Please do visit the website to find out when the next episode is on, along with all our other shows. This is lgradio.online. Thanks for listening.